2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse number 14. The Apostle Paul is writing to this early community of Jesus followers. And he writes, "For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." I am challenging this body of Christ, our church, to unsubscribe from some things. We began this series last week by taking a painful look at my email box, which still has over 50,000 emails, many of which I have to delete, but many I have to go into the actual email and press the unsubscribe button so that I will no longer receive those emails. And if I take a week or, you know, a couple years to do all of that for the 50,000 emails, I might just have a better experience with my email when I get all of that clutter and stuff out of my email box, and I can get to the emails that I have to read, not the emails that most times are just junk. And then there's some things in our lives, though, that we need to unsubscribe from. And we need to get that clutter and chaos out of our lives so that our journey with God might be in enhanced a bit. So I'm calling on all of us to take an inventory of the things that create the clutter and chaos and even roadblocks in our journey with God. I would love for all of us in here to think about having a more enriched experience with God. And so as such, I've invited us to fast for 40 days. And during your fast, we are providing some written journals for your use. If you need a daily primer or daily reminder, some scripture passages and some written meditations to help you during this 40 day fast. We'll fast until Easter Sunday on April 21st. We are going to provide these journals on a weekly basis, and new journals are on the table in the back for your use. They provide, again, biblical passages and written meditations. They are provided to help spur a daily practice of reading scripture and prayer, giving you a space to even write and jot down your own reflections that come up out of your meditation time. And the passages you will note will inform the upcoming week's sermon. So if you had a journal last week, you would note that all of the passages or the meditations dealing with what we're going to talk about today. In unsubscribing, we are attempting to take decided steps to not allow, again, the clutter, chaos, roadblocks to steer our walks with God. By unsubscribing, it may be possible for us to clear the way to receive transformative interaction with God. Our church is trying to do ministry and operate in such a way that we connect people to God and connect people to people and connect people to their God-given purpose. This, we believe, is the way of discipleship. This, we believe, is the way for men and women to experience transformation through the Holy Spirit in the blood of Jesus by the word of the Father. And so this morning, we want to consider unsubscribing from the past. The good old days. How many of y'all know about the good old days? Y'all know about the good old days? Remember when gas was under a dollar a gallon? Those were the good old days. Remember when as a kid, we could go outside and play, and there was little concern about, like, safety or being kidnapped or being murdered or killed? The only thing, at least on my street, Herman Street, Buffalo, New York, the only thing I need to be mindful of was the street light. My mother said, you go outside, you play to your heart's content. When you see that street light come on, you better get... I'm in church. You better get in the house. I won't, you know, this was pre-Christian days. She said, when that street light comes on, you need to get in the house. How many people know about the street light on your street? When it comes on, you need to beat the street lights in the house. Those were the good old days. Remember when families could live on the edge and fit a family of six and two additional friends in a car designed for five people? We had a green Buick Electra 225. I don't know if y'all know about that. We used to call that a deuce and a quarter. We had a deuce and a quarter, and we had a family of five. However, we could fit a whole lot of people in this car. If you look at the front seat, you see you could fit at least three people on the front seat and sometimes four, and we could fit like five more people in the back. We didn't need seatbelts, and it was safe, and everyone, we got to our destination. We didn't need a minivan. What was a minivan back in the day, right? Those were the good old days. Remember when you could make phone calls for 10 cents or 5 cents in a phone booth. Y'all remember that? Those were the good old days. Many of us, we long for the good old days. I have gray hair now. You know, I'm going to be 45 in a few weeks. You know, I can start using that language now, man. I long for the good old days. We could go on and on for hours about how things used to be, and for some of us, those days were better days. For some of us, those days were times of bliss and times of euphoria and unmatchable delight and blessedness. The good old days. But what about some of the things in our past that wasn't so blissful? What about the life of sin that we used to live in, and it ruled our lives? What about the instances of physical and mental abuse or trauma that some of us has experienced? What about the painful season of loss? What about that time the person you were closest to, they betrayed you? Or they took something from you. What about the huge argument you had with a sibling or another family member that still yields uncomfortable settings when the family gets together? You're sitting in the same room with that person, and you just feel the tension because of what took place 10, 15, sometimes 20 years ago. The first set of items from the past brings a smile to our face. The second set of items flips that smile upside down and it becomes a frown. The past is powerful. The past is an inescapable part of our existence. The question for us today, though, is how will we let or allow the past to operate in our lives, particularly as it pertains to those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus? Now, Paul was writing to the disciples in a city called Corinth, and he communicated a powerful truth that I think we need to be reminded of from time to time. He writes to the Corinthian church, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything, he says everything twice. See, everything has become new. Paul says that what has taken place before has been put in its place by the new reality of life in Jesus Christ. The work of Christ in our lives means that we are living in a new creation where the old has passed. That is to say that the new is what drives us and fills us and moves us and defines us. It creates our pathways and our journeys, and it creates our destinations and our destiny. The past in its proper place serves us all, but when given the best seat at the table of our lives, the past can be destructive. Truth is, many of us are haunted by our past. We can't escape our past. There are people in our past that we just simply cannot forgive. Some of us are struggling because there are things in the past that we believe others have not forgiven us for. There are some issues in the past that we haven't forgiven ourselves. And consequently, many of us really don't feel forgiven by God. Let's be honest. Holding fast to our past causes stress. It makes us angry. It depresses us. It can absolutely rule our lives. Now, I need you to hear me on this next point. Some of us in here have experienced some dark and traumatic experiences. Some of us in here are children of divorce. Some of us in here have gone through divorce. Some of us in here have been violated in so many ways. Some of us in here have participated in things that we are so ashamed of. And there are triggers that happen, and it brings to our remembrance some of the things that we've done. To suggest that these events are something that we can just forget and put in a box of forgetfulness is that's a bit silly. As I go on and talk about letting go of the past, I'm not suggesting that those are things that you can just forget. Trust me, as a victim of some trauma, I can't put it in a box of forgetfulness. And if I could, I absolutely would. And I've tried, and I can't. A lot of times when we're dealing with people who are victims of trauma and you haven't gone through that particular trauma, it sometimes, you know, just bewilders you that, man, why can't they just put that in the past? I mean, it happened so long ago. Why is that still stuck with them? It's because that's why they call it trauma. It's hard to forget. And trust me, people who have been victims of trauma would like nothing more than to throw it into a sea of forgetfulness and forget it. So I'm not suggesting that's something that we could do. I don't believe that's what Paul is saying in this passage. I do believe Paul is saying that because of our new reality in Christ, we can deal with the pain of the past, the challenges of the present, and the anxieties of the future because of what Christ has done in our lives, because we are living in a new creation, because we are new creatures. The past has its place, church. There is, you know, what's behind us, and looking and seeing what's behind us, there's a reason that on our vehicles we have, you know, rear view mirrors and side view mirrors. But I would dare any of you to try to drive a vehicle for a significant length of time by just looking in the rear view mirror or the side mirrors. No, that's not what we do, right? We look forward, and occasionally we look back and look to the side mirrors just to make sure that we aren't putting ourselves in any potential danger. You know, when you're driving and someone ahead of you abruptly stops, you want to stop and make sure nothing's going on there. But oftentimes, and all the time, you should look in the rearview mirror to make sure someone behind you is not about to hit you, right? It has its place. The past has its place. But we don't drive with our eyes fixed on what's behind us and check occasionally on what's in front of us. Living in the past can be suffocating, taking away all the oxygen of life. And that's why the language of Scripture calls us to put the past in spiritual context, where we understand what God is calling us out of calling us out of the past and into some new realities. I mean, here Paul in other places, as he's talking to these communities of faith in the book of Romans, he says, we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. Do you see Paul saying that the past has a perspective only for you to see now where you have come to out of that past? He writes to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 4, you were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with a new self created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you see the past has its plates? It's supposed to be back there as you look at life in newness of life. Look at what he wrote to the Philippian church. He says, beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Do you see? Forgetting what's behind and striving what's for that prize ahead. Look at what he wrote to the Galatian church, Galatians chapter 3. But now that faith has some, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. No longer. Galatians chapter 4, 7, he says no longer, a lot in Galatians. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Sisters and brothers, we need to be unapologetic about putting the past in its place. There is what we used to be and what we are now. You see, in the past, we were rebellious, but now we're saints. In the past, we were outcasts, but now we're beloved. In the past, we were orphans, but now we're the children of God. In the past, we were failures, but now we're victorious. In the past, we were enemies of God, but now we are the friends of God. In the past, we used to feel worthless, but now in Christ Jesus, we have significance because we were bought and redeemed by the blood of Christ. You see, in the past, we might have felt insignificant, but now we are ambassadors for God. We're on His team. We're important. In the past, people may have had power over us, but now I belong to Jesus, and I have in Jesus the power to forgive them, the power to forgive myself, and to live in God's everlasting forgiveness. Church, I stand ready to unsubscribe from the past, having power over my story. The past will not have power over my story. It will not have power over my destiny, and it will not have power over my actions. The past may teach me some things. The past may help me put some things in perspective. The past may provide some caution for me, some cautionary tales, some cautionary narratives and advice for me. It may be informing in some of my decisions. But what God is doing in the right now, that needs to be the prime mover in my life. What God did with Jesus on the cross helps me to unsubscribe from the past. The same truth applies to church. The past doesn't need to define us. The past is not something to be worshiped. Let's appreciate the past. Let's appreciate the days of, let's appreciate the good old days when we used to do that and we used to do that. But let's not worship the past. Let's understand that living in the new creation spawns a new season where God is doing new things. I'm not making that up and I'm not saying that. That's what God has been saying ever since the beginning of time. Stay fixed and look at me because I am doing a new thing. God said, I am about to do a new thing. Through the prophet Isaiah, he said that. Through the prophet Ezekiel, he says, when they come there, they will remove from it all its detestable things and all its abominations. I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. God is doing something new, and this is something that He is doing daily, and this is something that He is doing that's helping us deal with our past. This is something that He's doing in our lives that's helping us deal with the hurt and the trauma that has taken place in our past. And that is why the psalmist repeatedly declares, I will sing a new song. Why? Because God is always doing something new and bigger and better and updated and upgraded. And so many times in our lives, we miss what God is doing new because we have subscribed to the past. It has filled our inbox, the inbox of our lives. And because we're so busy dealing with all the clutter from the past, we miss those new things in our inbox. So quite simply, we need to unsubscribe from the past. I'm not a guy that believes like that there's some system or some list of things that you have to do in order, or I don't know that you need to do these things in order, but I do believe that these are some of the things that we have to do to unsubscribe from our past. Number one. We have to believe that God forgives us. We have to believe that God forgives us. I know we have done some despicable things in our lives. We have said some hurtful things. We have done some hurtful things. God forgives you. God forgave me. He forgives you. You have to accept. You will never be any good for anyone if you do not first accept God's forgiveness. He forgives you. He paid a debt for you that you could not pay. He forgave you. Now, if that means sitting on the edge of your bed in the quiet hours of the morning and just repeating to yourself, God forgives me. I'm forgiven. God forgives me. I'm forgiven. Accept God's forgiveness. It's not enough. Because many of us will intellectually accept God's forgiveness, but we won't forgive ourselves. You've got to forgive yourselves. Some of us are holding ourselves to some standard of trying to make something, and we just won't forgive ourselves. Can't truly forgive ourselves until we really embrace God's forgiveness. You embrace God's forgiveness, then we've got to forgive ourselves. I met an individual who has just lived a rough life. And in that person's life, some people in her life treated her bad. And I mean bad. And you can use your imagination and fill in those blanks, and I could probably confirm that it was that bad and even worse. As a child, as a teenager, as a wife, treated bad. And as we talk and navigate through that story, echoes of it was my fault that they treated me that way. It was my fault that they treated me. And then some bad things happened to the people that treated her bad. And you know who she blamed? It was my fault. There are a lot of us that need to unsubscribe from that lie. It's not our fault. It's not our fault. It's not our fault. You've got to forgive. You got to let yourself go from that. Receive God's forgiveness. Forgive yourselves. We got to forgive others. There's some stuff in our past, stuff our parents did, stuff our loved ones did, stuff some of our teachers did. We got to forgive them. We have to forgive them. Otherwise, that mess will continue to steer our paths going forward. We don't forgive, we're still looking in the rearview mirror while trying to get to our destination, looking in the rearview mirror. And we begin to hit and destroy stuff in our pathway because we're not paying attention to what's in front of us because we're focused. We got to forgive others. And then there's this piece where I alluded to earlier that I don't want to be insensitive to, that many of us have experienced trauma and things in our past that we would love to just throw in a box of forgiveness and cast it out to the deepest part of the ocean and let it sink down miles and miles and miles and miles, 20,000 leagues under the sea. And we just can't. It's in that place that I think the call from God is to come to Him, to fall on our knees, and to plead with God for healing. And to ask God to put in our way every resource, every person, everything that would help us toward a road or toward wellness and healing. It may be that we will never be completely whole, but we will always, in God's way, be on a road to healing and wellness. So for many of us in here, maybe today is the day that we begin this heart cry. God, heal my broken heart. Heal my broken spirit. Surround me with people who will love me the way that I should have been loved when I was a little kid and they took advantage of me. Love me the way that I should have been loved when my ex-wife did the things that she did to me, or my ex-husband did the things that he did to me. Surround me with people, your Holy Spirit, and heal me. And as the body of Christ, as peers and witnesses to those who are going through, you know, that sort of season where they're dealing with trauma, let us be the body of Christ. Let us call on God to say, God, use me to help people unsubscribe from the past. Not just blindly say, just forget the past, but really walk with them. Sometimes maybe we need to walk in the pain of others to help them unsubscribe from the past. But church, this is a place that I think we need to start when we're talking about unsubscribing. We're going to talk about a lot of things, unsubscribing from hurry and unsubscribing from worry and unsubscribing from fear. We're going to talk about a lot of those things, but I really think that the first place we need to start unsubscribing is from allowing the past to always direct our future. God has done something new in our lives, and it's time that we walk boldly in that truth. God is doing something new. And it may be that we're rough around the edges and we need to be broken and we need to be molded and we need to be shaped and we need to be refinished. But once in the hands of God, He will do something fantastic in our lives when we say yes to the new reality, yes to the future, and forget the former things. Church, let's unsubscribe from the past. Church, we are here to pray for you, to pray with you. We are here to help you struggle with forgiving others, to help you to forgive yourself, to help you receive fully God's gift of mercy and forgiveness. We're going to sing a song that many of you know, we all know, we grew up singing in church, Just As I Am. As we're singing this song, if you feel prompted to respond to this message in this way, that I just need, I need healing. I'm broken. I have been consumed by the past. And I want to break free of that. I'm tired of trying to change it, fix myself, and then come to God and say, fix me. No, know what? I'm coming just as I am right now, and I'm going to plead with God, with the rest of the family of God, to heal me, to break me. I'm wounded. I'm broken. I need to be mended. I need to be fixed. So if you're a follower of Jesus and you want to make that step today, I ask that you make a brave move today, a courageous move today, and ask that of God. You can do that at your seat if you want. Or if you want us to surround you, just come forward. A shepherd will meet you up here, and we will pray around you for healing. Or maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, or you've been you know, thinking about a follower, or you've been following Jesus at a distance, today is the day you say, I want to jump in. I want to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ. I want to tell this room of people, starting with this room of people, that I believe that Jesus is my Lord. And I want to demonstrate that. I want to be obedient. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be baptized into Jesus Christ. And I want to leave this place and go out to the rest of the world and proclaim that I am a follower, committed, sold out follower of Jesus. Again, as we're singing this song, if any of these statuses fit you and you want to respond to this message, I urge you and plead with you to come as we sing.